Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
So today I want to go a little bit deeper with you into the arena of leadership in the body of Christ, in the kingdom, because that, whether you realize it or not, that is really kind of a crucial issue as we transition from our, you know, the typical organizational formats into the new wineskin. It's going to require leadership, but the leadership is absolutely not what you perhaps have been exposed to or used to or perhaps even engaged in. You know, if you've had some sort of leadership capacity in the church, you're looking at a sea change, a huge paradigm shift in how you view your role as a leader. And for those of you that don't see yourselves as leaders, I beg to differ. You know, leadership at its core, and I'm really indebted to John Maxwell for the excellent teaching he's done over the years on leadership. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And I recognize that in many circles, that influence is because you have attained to some position over people. But in the kingdom, as we know, Jesus turned all of that on its head. So today, let's look at some thoughts here about Jesus and his model of leadership. And to do that, we're going to look into John chapter 10 and verse 1, where he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." Now, those are some pretty serious words, okay? And the context for his remarks, it's important to understand, well, what prompted Jesus to even talk about this? Well, prior to this situation, Jesus had healed the blind man who had been blind from birth, and, you know, all the discussion that went on with that. And the Pharisees went after him, went after his parents, you know, how did this happen? We don't know. Ask him. He's of age. And, you know, he told them what happened. And, you know, and then he challenged them. He says, "You're saying that this man's a sinner. How is that possible?" Right? And they excommunicate him, basically. They tell him, "Get out. You're no longer welcome here in the temple." So Jesus, you know, ministers to him and encourages him, etc., and then launches into this teaching, this discussion about leadership based on what he just witnessed of the Pharisees and how they led in Israel. And it's unfortunate, but that style of leadership that you see demonstrated by the Pharisees is all too often seen in organizational church structures. It is actually one of the cultural results, right, of an organizational structure, is that you tend to see this kind of a leadership style. So he's saying here, you know what? Anyone who purports to be a leader has to pass a very important test, which is what? I have to approve of them. This is Jesus talking. I'm the only one who has the right to endorse someone as a leader in my kingdom, as a leader in my body. Okay. And that's what he's talking about. You know, he says, anyone that doesn't come through the door. Well, what's the door? He's the door. He says that in verse 7 here. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." So he's the access point for the rest of the body of Christ, basically saying that we have the right to judge and discern whether or not someone who is presenting themselves as a leader is truly someone sent by Jesus, approved, endorsed by Jesus. And if they're not, Jesus calls them a thief and a robber. So what does that mean? Well, you know what? Jesus, his priority is always and will always be the sheep, the people, right? The sheep represent the people. And he, as the door, provides access to people, and he can also shut off access to people. That's why he says that there are some who will climb over the wall to try to get in and influence the body of Christ in some way, right? So his role as the leader is to give that approval, give that endorsement of leaders, those who claim to be leaders, right? So the question then becomes, when we're assessing someone's leadership, is their priority, the same as Jesus's? In other words, is their only concern to serve people, to bless people, to be there for people, or is there some other agenda? Is there some other motivation that's going on, a goal that they have, which is apart from simply being a servant leader, right? So the sheepfold in this, you know, he says anyone that doesn't come through the door of the sheepfold, right? The sheepfold back in the day, this was a very familiar analogy, obviously, to his hearers, because they saw sheepfolds all the time. They were just simple enclosures that were created for the purpose of temporarily keeping the sheep in one place. And the purposes for that had to do with, looking to my notes here, they would bring the sheep together for the purpose of shearing them, of perhaps caring for them medically if there was issues that way, or bringing them together for the purpose of bringing them to market. So there were some very specific reasons why the sheep would be brought together. But most of the time, the sheep were not held in any one particular place. They were allowed to roam freely over a wider area. And those that are familiar with the characteristics of sheep tell you that sheep typically just love to climb up on higher places. They're more comfortable that way. And so there's so many analogies, you know, in sheep's behavior compared to what, you know, what we are as the body of Christ. The one area that I won't abide is people who say, well, sheep are stupid. Well, okay, that's where the analogy breaks down. So the purpose of the sheepfold, as I say, was just to provide a temporary place of protection and nurture for the flock. And we all need that. We all need a place where we can feel safe, where we can experience love and care from others. And that's really the idea behind the new wineskin. You know, it is a sheepfold, but it's not something that's a permanent structure. It can happen anywhere. That's what I love about it. You can meet a couple of friends at Starbucks and that's a new wineskin, okay? But in that context, right, the needs are met. The needs of the sheep were met in the sheepfold, but they weren't all met because they were free afterwards to roam about freely. So Jesus uses two words to describe leaders that we need to beware of. The first is a thief, and the word actually means an embezzler, someone who by fraud, you know, steals stuff in secret, right? He uses the same word to describe the devil in verse 10 here, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what does that look like? Well, that looks like a leader who wants to steal the attention and the affection of God's people, for himself. Instead of keeping people focused on Jesus and falling more and more in love with Jesus, they're trying to steal that for themselves, because they're trying to have the allegiance of these people so that they can actually carry out their personal goals and agenda by using the people of God. Okay? Maybe you've experienced that in your history in the church. It is not a very pleasant kind of a situation. So leaders like that actually prohibit and prevent the body of Christ from fulfilling the destiny that God created them for, because they insist that the people's destiny is to fulfill their vision. Okay, not good. Then he uses another word, a robber, right? He says it's someone that steals openly. You see, the thief is doing this all kind of, you know, on the down low. You don't really see it, you know, out in the open. It's like this manipulation and, you know, stuff that goes on that is quiet, that's not really overt. Whereas the robber, he's like right in your face, right? So what is he doing? It's someone who just openly says, I'm the answer to your problems. I'm the anointed man of God. And you, if you don't, you know, connect with me, if you don't join my ministry, you're going to be a failure. You're not going to be successful. You will be, you know, poor and miserable, whatever the words are. And so they basically are one big hype machine for themselves and their ministry. And they are very open about their position as being over people, that they have the right and the authority to actually tell you what to do, because that's the position that God gave them. Well, no, absolutely not. Okay. So when you understand the analogy that Jesus is using here of sheep in a sheepfold and the good shepherd, which he is, right? He talks about how that the sheep won't follow a stranger. They're only going to follow the voice of the true shepherd, right? Talks about how because he's the door, people can come in through him. This is verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Folks, no one, and I mean no one, has the right to tell you that you aren't free to go wherever the Lord leads you in your quest to receive from the Lord through other servants of the Lord. I was rebuked many, many years ago because I dared to go to another ministry to receive training in the gift of prophecy. I had been prophesied over by someone that I would be a prophet. And so nobody knew how to train me in our area here. So I found a ministry that does that. And I went there. And, you know, a number of years later, I met this person that actually prophesied that over me. And they rebuked me for not staying in my local church. I'm like, wait, what? So you do not have to listen to anybody that's trying to tell you everything you need is right here in this ministry. That's a lie. It's impossible for any one ministry to have everything necessary for your growth and development. And Jesus himself, in using the analogy of a sheepfold, talks about sheep who come in, they're saved, and they shall go in and out and find pasture. So that means that there's more pasture than what might be available in that sheepfold. And there is. Okay. So I needed to make that point today, because some of you have been mistreated in that way. You've been made to feel guilty or rebellious, you know, because you have sought to receive from other ministries that perhaps are not condoned by your local leadership. Oh, well, you know, I feel badly for them, but they're operating in the wrong spirit. They're not operating as those who will serve, but rather as those who want to be over and to dictate. Okay. You can take the concept of care and oversight and put it in a wrong application. Okay. Peter talks about elders having oversight, but it's not a hierarchy where you are actually positioned over people, where you get to control their lives, tell them what they can and can't do. We all have a position as the heavenly, you know, or the royal priesthood. That's what I'm trying to say, right? So we all have the same access to the Lord as anybody else. Now, leaders, if they're smart, if they're kingdom focused, recognizing that they have perhaps more experience in the Lord by virtue of walking with him longer, you know, and have learned some things. Well, the role there is, let me help you. Let me share with you what I've learned so that you don't make the same stupid mistakes that I made, right? That's the heart of a leader. So when we think about how we can function, you know, as leaders in the new wineskin, because remember, leadership is only influence, and you have influence, right? Jesus tells us that leadership is servanthood, right? We talk about this a lot. You want to be great in my kingdom, be a servant. If you want to be first, be a slave. That's a humble position. And Jesus used the analogy of a child. When his disciples were arguing about who's the greatest, he takes a child. This is out of Matthew 18. Puts a child in the midst of them and says, look right here, whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because children are dependent. Children are open to learning. You know, they realize that they don't know everything. Okay. Childlikeness is valued highly in the kingdom of God. And so as leaders, we should, you know, strive to maintain that posture of childlikeness. Papa, show me what to do here. I think I know, but in case I'm wrong, show me what to do. I'm not too proud to ask him for help in many situations, even those that I think I understand. Lord, you know what? Help me out here, because I don't want to assume that I know what I'm doing. I prefer to not know what I'm doing. That way, I'm sure I'm following your lead in whatever it is that we're doing. So very important. And it's not that difficult, right? The fact that he wants us to simply be childlike means that he can lead us and show us in areas that we know nothing about. That's the beauty of this, right? You don't have to have a PhD or, you know, all kinds of degrees and whatever. You just have to follow his voice. Okay. And so when we think about what that leadership looks like, it's really going to be focused on how we can best serve the people that God has connected us to, right? We all perhaps have certain gifts that we're more comfortable with, or that we feel, you know, that my primary thing is this or that, right? Like for me, it's teaching, it's encouraging, right? It's setting people free. Those are my, you know, passions and giftings. But yet, if I get a phone call from somebody and say, hey, I'm moving tomorrow, would you mind helping me? Could you bring your car? I'm like, absolutely. My primary gift is not the gift that helps, okay? It's just not in that sense, but it doesn't matter. My role as a member of the body of Christ and as a leader too is, how do I serve? How can I serve you? What are the needs? And as long as you recognize that, as long as you are focused on the priority of the heart of the Lord, and that is people, whatever the need is that presents itself, you simply say, Lord, is this something that you want me to be involved with? And if so, how? See, even in recognizing a need, I'm not going to jump to the conclusion that it automatically means I'm supposed to be involved, because I may not be. He may have somebody else assigned to that particular situation. But I can ask him, Lord, what would you like me to do here? He may say, just pray for them. Or he may say, yeah, I need you to do X, Y, or Z, whatever it might be, right? But that, honestly, that's the core of New Covenant leadership, right? It's being childlike, being led of the Lord, and simply focusing on the needs that present themselves as you connect with people and get to know them, right? Oh my goodness, he couldn't make it any easier, right? It's just phenomenal. So as we start to think about moving forward and maybe either starting a new wineskin or being involved with one, just realize that the very nature of these gatherings requires that we all step up and take responsibility for what happens in the gathering. That means every one of us is a leader in the new wineskin. Whether or not you initiated the meeting, you know, and are helping to facilitate it, or you just attend it, you are no less a leader than anyone else there. So understanding, you know, that heart is so, so important in order for us to really function the way we're called to function in this environment, okay? So many years ago, the Lord gave me this interesting acronym to understand a little bit better how this looks, what this looks like in terms of our serving people. And he used the word reach, R-E-A-C-H. So let me, as we close today, just kind of give you a quick summary of that teaching that he gave me. R stands for to recognize relationships. Relationships are the currency of the kingdom. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God apart from relationship. I don't know if you've discovered that yet, but that's how God designed it. And so we have to recognize relationships that are presented to us. Some of them are deep, long-lasting. Others are mere acquaintances. Doesn't matter. That's a relationship. So in recognizing that relationship, my goal is going to be to help that person to see God as he truly is, because a lot of people are deceived about who God is and what he's like, to see themselves as God sees them, and also to begin to appreciate the world as God sees it. Very important. The A, that was actually E, which stands for encourage and equip, right? So I'm engaged in serving people in some way, and those three things that I just listed are part of that encouragement, helping people see God as he is, themselves as God sees them, and the world as he sees it. A stands for assist and activate. So what practical ways can I help this person, right? What is it, Lord? Again, help them with a task that they're doing. Maybe it's sharing something that I've learned, praying with or for them. There's many different things, right? So it's an active kind of a thing. Am I to care for them? That's what the C stands for. What needs can I care for in their life right now? Asking the Lord for that revelation. And then the H, a little bit of a stretch. I had to come up with help them with their destiny. Help them reach the goal of their life, the purpose for which they're here. And so, you know, those points that the Lord showed me, you know, reaching someone, it's simple, yet I think it's pretty inclusive with regard to how we can serve people in a leadership capacity in the new wineskin, in the new covenant, in the kingdom of God. All of these things talk about our participation, our role, right? Our responsibility, right? The church was never meant to be led by a few professional clergy. The church was always meant to be a participatory environment where all of us get to play, as John Wimber used to say. And so be encouraged that you are absolutely qualified and equipped and anointed to do what I've just described to you today. So have some dialogue with the Lord about that. Let him show you in very specific ways what you are able to do as a new covenant leader. And let's see. Let's see how the Lord is going to go forward with us as we're now transitioning into a time where gatherings of the body of Christ are going to be much more fluid and informal, and I think much more powerful. All right. So I hope this is encouraging for you. It is hugely encouraging for me to be able to share this stuff with you and know that Holy Spirit's moving. He is doing great things as we continue to follow his lead.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.